Live from Los Angeles and Rochester, this is The Bachelor Masters, and you heard me right. EZR and I are in LA, and Chris is back in the city that raised him in upstate New York.
Throughout the life of the show thus far, this is like a yearly tradition. It probably happened about the same time in the season last year.
Video Rochester remote. How is Rochester?
It's great. It's just how I left it. It's the city that time forgot, and everyone's better for it.
Do you go back to your old high school and play basketball with the youngins?
You know, I've tried that a few times before, but the local police department is on to me, so I just hole up in my parents' house and don't go out.
When you get off there, you know, when you get off the airplane and you go home and you go back to your old room and put your bags down, then, you know, you go out by the fire and start catching up like kids and their parents do. Do you inevitably talk about podcasts?
Yep, that comes up. Other parts of LA life come up. And my parents have no idea what The Bachelor is, but they know all about the podcast.
Yeah. Did he ever set you aside and say, let's have a chat, and then you guys talk about the significant other you have there?
Yep, that happens sometimes. It is that kind, you know, it is almost like a hometown on the show. So even though they don't know it, they live it. And that's what's important.
It's a hometown date. You're just missing the other half.
I'm just living it on my own. That's right.
There's no way that's true for most people, right? Where you take someone aside and go, let's have a chat with your dad. No, that's the, right. I thought that.
When the parents on the show say, let's go have a chat, it's one of those rare occasions that they do let you know it's a TV show. They try so hard to make it look all real, but it's like they kind of have to say something to sort of move people around.
Right.
So you're not just suddenly.
They don't have to say anything.
I know. It's weird. Why can't they just cut to them sitting in another room or something?
It's something about the wholesome feeling of when someone announces, let's have a chat, let's talk about your intentions with my son. So we were talking about podcasts today, and my parents are at an age and stage where they have a lot of surgeries that happen on their body and recover. Mm-hmm. And they've gone through phases of listening to podcasts when they have to do like physical therapy after getting a knee replaced or something. So
if you're not paying close attention, you really have no idea what a podcast is. And the only way to explain it is to say that you do a radio show over the internet. Have you had to do that, EZR?
That's what I cut that promo with Dr. Phil all about.
My favorite, by the way. How did you pay Dr. Phil to plug us? How did you get us on his radar?
The best part is that he could really be promoting any podcast, but you have to teach everyone in the audience what a podcast is, how it works, and the fact that it's free. Because I think, you know, the elderly get scammed a lot, and that's what his show is basically turned into now. I think in 2020, it'll be like a version of Maury. So he has to make sure that not everything on your phone is a way to trap you into paying. So
I love that clip. I love it. After he teaches the audience how to subscribe to a podcast, he starts shoving the microphone into the faces of unsuspecting audience members saying, what do you think?
Oh my god,
it's cool, it's great, you think it's awesome, oh yeah.
It's like an evangelist preacher in like the 19th century when they're like forcing the crucifix on someone in the audience.
That's what podcasting has become. Got a few things to get through. This was an action-packed episode, I think. And I've promised myself I'm going to get mean. I think I've been too nice the last couple of our episodes. And I actually have a couple things to be mean about. I'm actually kind of upset at the whole
thing. You're scaring me, Craig.
I am. I'm very upset with how they're handling this jumping the fence thing.
If you're not upset, then you're not paying attention to The Bachelor. Not politics. Forget that.
I see. But I'm still scared.
But before we get to that, let's stay in a positive, friendly mood here. I want to do a shout out to a new listener of ours, but longtime Twitter friend, I guess, Twitter interactor. Twitter social influencer, Jay in L.A. See, that rhymes.
We could also say
Jay in the jungle. L.A. is known as the jungle. Let's have to see which one has, you know, sticks. Jay in the jungle. He is at IDEMOPS. IDMOPS.
Is he someone we know personally?
No.
I hate to ask over the air, but that's good to know. I do have a coworker with that name, and I wonder, I doubt that it's that coworker, but perhaps.
Is he from Boston originally? That's in his profile. I'm not.
Like, no, he's from Illinois.
Not doxing him or anything. Not the same guy. But Jay in LA, you know it.
Who are you talking to? Us?
I just enjoy being in a good mood right now, so I'm trying to like extend it out.
Yeah, this is like the roller coaster about to hit the steep drop.
Yes, we're just going slowly uphill. No, really though, Jay's a funny dude. Tweets a ton, real funny. We've interacted a lot. But anyway, so we got to talking on Twitter via our tweets, you know, back and forth. And he brought up that, or we mentioned that, you know, Colton is of course named after the Indianapolis Colts. Now, if you need any proof of that being true, let me point you to evidence. Bag number one, which is Colton's dad. If anyone is capable of naming their kid after a NFL football team, it's Mr. Underwood. Am I right?
Yeah.
His fire that guy pit, has a piece of work.
Convinced me.
You know, I actually kind of missed a lot of the episode directly because I was tweeting so much. I know he said a lot of like juicy things, but I just have this image of him wearing this, you know, store brand off-white long sleeve crew neck shirt with his pecs popping out.
The fact that he instills in him to go with his gut, even on it, just I've heard the word gut so many times. This
well, that's the thing. I know you have the translation for that ECR, and I thought it was telling that his father was telling him to go with his gut.
Oh, right. Well, that's how Colton is taking it, but he keeps telling him, like, pretty much saying, go with your first reaction, your first brain, right. And. That's right. Wrong sometimes, right. Especially exactly. For someone like Colton.
Right. Well, skipping ahead, I love in the previews for the hometowns that we get at the end of the episode, we see Hannah G's mom, and she's like rubbing her forehead and looking up and to the right and saying, like, oh my gosh, I just don't know what to do.
That's thanks, the part Chris. That got you.
This is what was missing last week, Chris, when you weren't here, was you laughing at things that I find funny and say. Do we have like
the
a cricket chirping drop
sound of Chris's laughter?
We even had a bit last episode where I specifically sat Easier down and told two jokes that I had been prepping all day to say. And
yeah, I listened to it while waiting to leave Florida to come to Rochester in the airport, and it was comic gold. The non-reaction was better than if I had been there to I probably ruined some of your humor then, Craig, because if someone reacts to it, I right. take the power away from it. I don't know. It's not full, you know, it's not Full House as much as you love it, right. Craig. What you're doing is avant-garde comedy here. You need yes. people to spit on it, and then yes. it's funny.
See, EZR? This is why the three of us work so well. It's like the TV show MASH. Very critically acclaimed show, of course, because it was a comedy, but it also took place during a war, and they didn't shy away from that fact. But it did not have a soundtrack until CBS syndicated it. So it was on during the day in syndication. They added a laugh track.
Huh.
Oh, fact. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
MASH used to depress me because it was on when I was supposed to be leaving the house. I'm like, no, MASH is on. That means I didn't leave early enough and it's hot out now.
There was this great show called Sledgehammer, which I think we've talked about before, which is about a cop who is kind of a little bit like Colton's dad. He's the type, he talks to his gun on the TV show. Like, I don't know if Colton's dad talks to his gun, but he's kind of a little on edge.
He does.
And, well, you know, if Colton's dog is named Sniper and his other dog is named Thor, which it is, imagine what his dad's dogs are named.
Oh, my God. His dad.
Thallus Jesus. And Testes. Something like that.
Anyway, so MASH, it was always funny because we had these comedies like, you know, it'd be like Cheers and Sledgehammer and then it would be MASH. And, you know, for us impressionable young children, we thought it was just going to be just another show. And you start watching it, it's like this complicated.
Holy crap. Yeah. Craig, you're talking about watching MASH as it was like new episodes as they were airing. I'm talking about
syndication.
Channel 13.
I'm not that old. It was on syndication when I was a kid. Yeah, but it was on during a daytime kid.
Oh, yeah. It was on for me like after I Love Lucy, not before some show I'd never heard of. Sledgehammer. I'm a TV person and I've never heard of this show.
Right. Well, we need another show like MASH. We need a serious comedy that takes place in Darfur or something. I'm serious. You think I'm
Darfur?
Pick a
more comical war setting.
Vietnam wasn't exactly a comedy.
Korea.
You're right. Korea wasn't exactly a comedy. Okay, look.
Yeah, I never laughed once at that show, even though I saw it a lot. MASH. Anyway.
So Jay in the Jungle on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
He pointed out that Indianapolis Colts is just one of many football teams that Colton's dad could have named him after, right? Mm-hmm. So this is things he tweeted. So for instance, if Colton's dad's favorite team was the Miami Dolphins, then Colton's name would be Underwood.
Dolph? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adolph.
No, Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, Dolph Underwood. That's pretty funny. And then if his favorite team were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right, then he'd be Bucky Underwood.
Okay. What about the Bills?
Bill Underwood. I'm suspicious of everyone named Bill. Is Bill short for like Robert or something?
William,
Bill, got it. All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, thank you, Jay in LA.
Thank you, Craig, for explaining the joke.
Explaining what joke?
His joke, the Twitter guy's joke.
Well, isn't that what you do when you explain something?
Oh, well, I guess joke explaining is hard for me. I'm like, yeah, okay.
So
this is
so
why your joke's
do,
so
but,
flat
but
on me.
Left.
What you're saying is we should rewind the last 15 minutes of the podcast here, and I should just say, hey, Colton could have been named Bucky Underwood.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Bucky. Very cute.
Or then our Jay in the Jungle bit would have been 10 seconds long instead of 15 minutes.
Okay. Maybe Colton hopping the fence is in reaction to his father telling him his real name.
Okay, now Bucky. I'm going to get me. See, you just set me off, Chris.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm pissed off at this fence jumping thing. I mean, Twitter is about to explode. Almost every other tweet, and probably every tweet towards the end, was about this damn fence.
I'm more upset about Cassie Kalen versus Tayshia Kirpa and Katie.
They're getting a pretty bad shake of it by the editors, wouldn't you say? Oh, it just so happens that the two women that are coming out as being lying and scheming are the black women. I don't appreciate that.
I mean, I totally think there is a racial connotation, let's say, on both sides. Cassie and Kalen both said something like, they deserve this. This reeks of desperation, as in they're not the two... that everyone else except them aren't good enough or aren't worthy to be the bachelorette.
Right.
Neither one of them denied it. So.
Yeah. Look, the show has never been able to do anything about race. They treat black women very bad over the course of the many seasons of the show. They can't do sex. They can't do sex abuse. They manipulate the F out of everyone. And you know what we do? We go along with it. Bachelor Nation. And in the process, we've made Mike Fleiss and about a dozen other sociopath producers filthy rich. And all we ask for in return is that they show the damn fence.
Like, that's the
that's
line. That
that's
makes
why
it
you
all
were getting
okay.
That?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I thought you were
think
getting
about
at
this.
Something.
They think they have this all figured out after all these years, right? It's like, oh, we'll hang them in the suspense. But this is a whole new level of manipulation of the audience that they're doing here. They don't have any respect for us. Just show the damn fence. And beyond that, they removed the fence. There was no mention of the fence in the previews for next episode.
Yeah.
They're just rubbing it in.
We have rights. I love
we do.
That.
We have rights.
We have
are you going to wait until
nation.
The season ends to write into the studio, Craig? Or have you already started the writing
well, I don't
campaign?
Craig, we are part of this beautiful nation we call Bachelor Nation. And we should write our own constitution.
No,
Number four should be fence rights. Fence gate. Right.
There's this there's this illusion that us consumers have the power of the dollar. Oh, we can boycott Walmart whatever. We can boycott at the NFL with the Colin Kaepernick. We can not shop at, you know, whatever store because they, you know, don't pay their people enough. All this crap. It's all crap. You want to know why it's crap? Because if 1,000 people boycott, then there's still 1 billion people lining up to give their money to these companies. That's why, see, that's why there's a thing called an estate tax. The founding fathers knew the lifespan of companies is longer than the lifespan of the human. And if we let the companies get large enough and powerful enough, then there is no checks and balances when it comes to consumer spending.
And that, I mean, and if
this is getting back to
fence. If all of that is true, that's right. The least they could do is show us the fence to forget about some of these other things.
Because there is a negotiation, right? At the end of the day, they want ratings, and ratings might fall a little bit if they do something, right? Like, God forbid, have a Black Bachelorette. I'm really glad that they let that one through. And then, so they think, oh, they have us all figured out. And then they don't give us the fence. And that actually gets me really upset.
I can't believe this all comes back to the fence. I'm mad at that, Kalen.
It's still easier.
You've done bringing it
community
all back
organizing and activism. You know, it's the little things at the end that touch off revolutions and change, right? It's not the big things. It's the little thing at the end that finally pushes things over the threshold.
Franz Ferdinand.
So you get the feeling that the fence is going down poorly with others,
it's symbolic,
right?
For Kurt.
Well, it's pissing me off, and you know, I'm part of the vanguard party, to use a Marxist-Leninist phrase. It probably doesn't piss off any.
You know what? I think you're right, Craig, because I think you're right about being the vanguard, being the new guard in general, because we, as this new podcast, have slowly been getting people on our side about what we think. Mm-hmm. And this whole Kalen Cassie thing goes to the old guard. Mm-hmm. Everyone is like that who watches The Bachelor because they're watching themselves on TV defend Kalen and Cassie. But that era is over. We are Bachelor watchers of now.
That's right.
The critical Bachelor watchers.
Well put, EZR.
That we are the new guard. Even when I've been wrong apparently on things, and you guys convinced other people to come to your side, but still, we stand united here.
Well,
you
it's
are,
like democratic
you are right
centralism.
Too, yeah.
I agree on Kalen and Cassie. So I'll stand with you there. Well, I thought they were supposed to be the bad guys.
Yeah. No, they're getting a lot of support because people are twisting it the way they want to see it. They're saying that, I'll just give you just a quick.
Whatever.
This is huge, Craig. As mad as you are, I am so mad. You know, I'm not as mad because I feel like I have a voice. And isn't that the true deception that, like you're saying, capitalism gives you? When you feel you have a voice, you calm down. So revolution is never possible. But I feel I have a voice, so I'm not as mad as I should be, but I'm pretty mad. Kalen are conniving. They totally plotted for this. Their sob stories and every story they had makes sense that they've been trying to strategize to be the Bachelorette.
Right.
Now, there are these things that have been documented before but are kind of hard to search online for, called reality show packs.
Yes.
Girls will go on there together. Not always girls, but that seems to be the case a lot of the time. Girls will go on the show together, or while they're there, they will hook up and form a plot, right, to kind of make sure the other one gets believed.
They were shockingly, two narratives were shockingly close together.
Right. And I weirdly had over our break, Mark Cronin from 51 Minds, the VH1 producer, had said that he has seen so many of these reality show packs. And so this is not some undocumented, you know, anecdotal evidence I'm giving here. In his quote that I really like, that I remember thinking about, was something like, 2 days of bright lights and you have to let go of that persona. And the only thing that kind of keeps you going is if you have a confidant in the house. that right. keeps your scheme going unless you're a crazy yeah. sociopath. So
well, it's hard to pull off. I'm sure you've heard of the prisoner's dilemma. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Where
you sort of, you're going to have someone will eventually behave badly.
Three prisoners are all in cahoots. And like, what do you do? Do you lie along with the other? The answer is always try to protect yourself and rat out your friends.
Right.
Or something, I don't know, something like that. But it goes back kind of what to I was saying, which is the reason consumer spending doesn't have really any impact on large corporations is because there's always going to be other people in line to just throw their money at them. Just like when we were in high school, no one wanted to take the test. There's always that one nerd who's like, well, I'll take the test. Breaks rank and yeah. ruins it for everyone else.
And you would always call that nerd a scab, stick your foot out, trip them, and...
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I you know.
Well, it depends why.
I didn't care about my grades. Easier, you weren't that nerd, were you?
I was thinking about saying that I was, but was I? I don't know. It depends. It depends what the injustice was, right?
Right, right.
If the injustice is the educational system, then no, because I'm half and half on it.
But it's very difficult. How do you just assume that the other person is going to do what they said they're going to do and not cave for whatever reason? So Kaylin and Cassie.
Kaylin is a stronger one, right?
Really pulled this off.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The producers were totally on their side, Kaylin's too, great. Which goes back to this whole, the show just can't deal with women of color because they handed it to Kaylin and Cassie by not even showing what they actually said to Colton when they were in the private rooms.
You're right. And not only are they, the show is making it look open-ended, like it's her word against their word against their the other group of girls' word, but it's not. There is evidence for Kaylin and Cassie scheming, but they're not showing it to us. And they're even putting them in the kind of, in the position that is more the right position, right? Because they're letting them say these coded dog whistle languages to the other girls. They're letting them say, reeks of desperation. They stole that away from me because they are entitled to it. Mm-hmm. It being the bachelorette.
Kaylin comes off as seeming really conniving. I feel like we got to see the same beauty pageant that Hannah Beast and Kaylin were in together play out again, where I feel like, I'm saying Kaylin is evil. You know, I'm using that in the lowercase e, not like reality TV sense, conniving. And Hannah is too earnest and she lost because she's not as good looking or some of these superficial things as Kaylin, and Kaylin has stuck around.
Well, let me get to that later.
I know that. That's not your opinion, Craig, but let's just say she's less polished in some of these ways. So I feel like it was a very similar dynamic, and like Hannah got burned by probably the same things that burned her before. And then the only, I agree, ECR, and I'm interested to hear you say a little bit more that the evidence for what was said or wasn't said is very oblique. And there was only one thing that I thought Kerpa was going to get cut regardless, but she...
Yeah,
I would have said one thing differently. Colton tried to get Kerpa to clarify and said, well, was this just, are these accusations that you're bringing to me just what Katie said to you? How do you know that Kaylin and Cassie said these things? And Kerpa says, well, they were the only two that looked guilty when the accusations were brought. And I thought, no, I would have nailed them more explicitly there. I wouldn't have just put it on a guilty look. I thought that that seemed like kind of squishy evidence.
Yeah, Kerpa was in a really bad position where she knew that she was coasting, you know, unfortunately. And if she had to have one foot in and one foot out, because she had to act like she was still going for him, but at the same time she had to write this wrong. And unfortunately, she also used the wrong words, right? She kept saying things like, I feel, my opinion. And that wasn't the way to... I feel how she feels sometimes because you don't want to accuse too harshly when it's personal. That's how I do it. I always say, one, when I'm really being rude to someone that I know well, I tend to say one or... People tend to, you know, I'll say those kinds of
More anyone. Formal.
Yeah, that's just my way. And that's the way I was taught to confront things, unless I'm in like a fight. But that's just the way I do things. And I think Kirpa might have that same background. So she had a hard time, you know, making sure she's getting a message across to Colton, making sure she maybe could keep going on. Also getting these two girls to admit to what they're doing. And if I was her, I would have eliminated myself and then let everything go. Just at all three of them.
I know. And by the time it came down to that conversation, I think Kirpa knew that she was cut also,
right?
Because it was Kirpa or Cassie, and Cassie is Colton's Aryan princess, and Kirpa's like, I'm getting cut here. But
yeah,
I wish she was a little more explicit to Nell, Cassie especially.
So I guess one of our questions comes down to who lied better, Cassie by overacting and crying, or Kaylin, who acted somber and reclusive?
Okay.
And
Kaylin.
Right. She did. But Cassie played the high school girl card. If we zoom in and we look at how conniving Cassie is. So the first little chunk of audio you're going to hear is Cassie talking to Colton, which is sweet, demure, you know, sounds vulnerable. And then you're going to hear her real self, the one Hannah B warned us about, behind the scenes with her potty mouth, right?
Hold on. I mean, Kaylin. Kaylin, right?
Sorry, their names are really confusing to me.
So this is an all Kaylin clip?
Yes.
Okay.
Like shaking, it like terrifies me to know the way that I'm feeling and the fact that I could lose you over something that's completely fabricated. How the f*** would you know if I'm ready or not? I feel like my future was just ripped away from me because there's an insecure 28-year-old girl running around the house. Dude, I better get a f***ing nurse because I will call that stupid bitch out.
Whoa. Yeah, there was a lot of swearing in this episode. You notice that? Right off the get-go, Colton was dropping the F-bomb into his little diary video thing. We're getting conflicting messages, Disney.
I guess we're... To say it again in case we have to cut the audio later.
Kaylin's bad. She's going to take down that bitch. Okay.
Acted scary, but then to Colton, acted kind of sad and demure and reclusive. And then Cassie overacted, cried, lashed back, projected, right? Did everything that you would do when you're younger and get caught in a lie.
Well, I guess the clip you played is exactly why I'm surprised that people are on Kaylin's side, because I felt the way the episode portrays it just like that is like Kaylin is clearly unstable the way it looks in that edit, right? It's like exactly it goes from this really soft-spoken act to her swearing on the mountain, and they show that a few times. So how are people defending Kaylin? She seems so manipulative in the episode.
People like Kaylin, and I think this is what you hear all the time, but it's true. Here's a great example of it. Are always given the benefit of the doubt. Always. Mm. You know, this is what everyone's telling everyone else in America. These are the kinds of people that get ahead, and it doesn't matter how many mistakes they made, because they always, always get ahead. And a lot of people are pretty upset about it, but the kinds of people that watch The Bachelor are people like Kaylin.
Well, you said at the beginning of the episode that type of person that sees themselves in the contestants and will rigorously defend people like Kaylin is actually dwindling, and it's us critical watchers that are now taking over.
Well, we're still a small group. We could still get... Imagine if they make someone like Kaylin and or Cassie Bachelorette, despite this whole episode that they probably couldn't avoid facing, right? Mm-hmm. Because if they didn't do this, maybe people like Kirpa, Katie, Tayshia would go against their contracts and revolt, whatever, what we're saying. If they give us little crumbs here or there, then we're okay.
Right.
But then if they did something like go against everything we already, you know, I can see them, you know, edging us out if they choose either one of these girls as Bachelorette.
Well, it is interesting that the show chose to keep a whole segment where they talk about the choosing of the Bachelorette in the context of the show.
getting very meta on the show.
Yeah.
And this is what...
Something afoot.
This is what we've always suspected happens. You know, we thought that would happen with Tia. We thought she knew the whole time while she was with Ari that she wanted to be the Bachelorette. Right. Then I definitely thought that with Colton, because Colton had a whole plan. He wanted Tia to be the Bachelorette, and then he would go on and they'd win it together.
So I'm reading the Bachelor Nation book, of course, and one of the things that she talks about is the vast amount of free time that the contestants have sitting around and doing absolutely nothing. And they all bunk together. Producers will bunk in the same room just because it's like they're there all the time anyway. So there's a lot of just sitting around doing absolutely nothing and talking to each other, I guess. So on the one hand, they Kaylin and Cassie were scheming and conniving and wanted to be the Bachelorette. And they created this united front and they pushed out the two women of color. Other way of looking at it is that they just, for 5 minutes amongst hundreds of hours of being doing absolutely nothing, waiting for their little time on camera, they just happened to talk about becoming the Bachelorette. And is that so bad?
Yeah. That might not be so bad, but I think you're entitled to call that out. So I would say that they could have talked about it if Katie, etc., heard that, then it's valid to call that out. And I still feel like it's like the cover up is worse than the crime. The way they defended themselves, it's like worse than actually saying it.
Right.
I can see Cassie. That's not even true. She was on a reality show before this. So I can see both of them wanting to be the Bachelorette. Kaylin, I feel, that was her aim by going on this in the first place. She had her sob story she had to tell. And let's put the sob story in context. Probably most of the women who go on The Bachelor have been sexually assaulted. Every woman I know has been sexually assaulted. Not raped, sexually assaulted. But if she was raped, a lot of women have been. I'm sure a lot of women have that story and don't want to tell it on TV. Why would you tell it on TV? Because you get so much support, and that's the one thing you can do to make sure you have a lot of followers and a lot of buzz about you to be the next Bachelorette.
I don't know.
I think she's manipulative.
I think I see your point on the, I don't know about the specifically on the assault story, but overall I agree with you that I feel like Cassie is getting lucky that she is with Kaylin, because Kaylin, I think, is definitely the master manipulator and is kind of bringing Cassie along for the ride. So whatever happened, whatever conversation while they were all hanging out for a while for hours on end, I think Cassie has been taken under her wing because it's helpful to have that ally. And yeah, I think they're both very manipulative. Yeah. That seems kind of clear to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then Kaylin, making sure that Cassie doesn't slip up and going to protect her. Uh-huh. And Paige today called it quote unquote classy. But these girls, both, I think Kaylin knows and feels like if Cassie gets cut, then he's on to me next.
ECR. There were a few moments in this episode where I thought of you. Another one that's related to this, what you're talking about now, is when Kaylin intervenes, she uses the line, "I just can't stand to see girls tear each other down," or something, as like the way she's going to. And I thought, yeah, that's really, that's kind of turning the like political situation against. She's throwing women under the bus by saying they threw women under the bus and therefore they should be eliminated. Mm-hmm. Right. And I knew classic you've been onto projection. That for a while. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Colton eats it all up because Kaylin is a master at this. She will take whatever Colton's biggest, you know, weaknesses are, and that means his weaknesses in terms of what he falls for, and she uses them. And even when she talked to Tayshia, she said that Tayshia was betraying her. Kaylin said Tayshia was betraying her, trying to flip things around instead of making it about Tayshia and the friendship instead of what Tayshia accused Kaylin and Cassie of.
Right.
It's classic, and it messes with people's minds. Hannah B had it right, and she still went back on everything she said about Kaylin because she got confused by an offer of friendship. You know, that's how much of a scary person Kaylin is, I think.
Plus, and I bet it would have been right overall for Hannah B to keep that fight up, but it was smarter for her not to. I think she survived a lot longer in the show to not do that.
Yeah.
I see what you're all saying. Do you think Hannah G is implicated in any of this? Because she just sits quiet. She's been sitting quietly on the side for episode after episode. You know, this isn't Hannah. I guess there's only one Hannah now, so it's not really Hannah's fault. But when Colton takes her out front to talk to her, and another time when we don't get to see what they actually talk about, and then he opens the door and comes back and gets the rose.
Oh, yeah. They're just giggling outside.
His body language. What do I always say? What's the first rule to be cool?
Walk don't slowly.
Look like you tried too hard? Oh, you still got it, didn't you?
Exactly. Never act like you're in a hurry. And he like hops and skips over to the table. He abounds to the table to get the rose and then whisks it up and takes it back to Hannah. Very not cool. Yes,
he was following his gut.
Yes. Exactly. So I don't know. Where does she fall into this whole thing? Because it's not like she hasn't been in these rooms when these conversations have been happening.
She totally knows. But we've talked about her before. She's a Lauren B. She's a, you know, she doesn't understand anything. She doesn't care. She doesn't want to get involved. She's the person we're talking about who will line up at the store if there's a sale, despite their ethical,
right.
Anything, it doesn't matter to her. Nothing matters except whatever's in front of her. And I think Colton's the same.
It's a scary world in which we live when there's people like Hannah just don't care. They have no care. They don't care about recycling or driving Ford Escalades or BP oil spills in the Gulf. That oil spill like really messed up the entire Gulf Coast. But it doesn't have to be all environmental stuff. Economic fellow man. She doesn't care about any of that.
No, well, she doesn't care about anything.
More specifically on the show, she knew she was safe this week. It was sort of like the suspense of going into that date where there was four women and two roses. Right. There's no way she knew she was getting one of those. So I think here, immediately, she's silent because she has known forever that she's going to get a hometown because she got the first impression rose and he thinks she's hot.
Right. She's exactly what you're saying, Chris, and what you're saying, Craig. She doesn't care if it doesn't involve her. She probably heard all these things. She doesn't want to get involved because she doesn't believe in anything. Nothing matters to her.
I don't believe in anything, but for different reasons.
Well, I guess I mean that in a
lowercase b.
Stand up for what is right. Yeah, exactly.
Beliefs start wars. That's why I don't.
Got it. Right. Thank you. You could hear me asking for without verbalizing. Thanks, Craig.
What football team is Rochester? Is it like the Jets or the Giants or is it the Bills?
The Bills.
Bills. I see. Bill Underwood.
Yeah.
What's next, EZR?
We haven't talked about Hannah B's meeting the parents and then immediately cut. Seems like he just wanted to go meet his parents and she was just happened to be in the car.
Since I was tweeting and I kind of missed some of the details of the parent visit, I do really want to hear what both of you have to say about Colton's parents.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to have an interesting observation off the bat. You guys covered his father, and his mother talked to Hannah and knew she was... His mother knew she was getting cut before she did. She had the least enthusiastic questions for her. She was like, so how do you know you love him? Like she's already bored asking the question. And Hannah's like, well, he's just so, you know, I just had that feeling. And how does he feel about you? He hasn't said it back to me yet, but yeah, really, you're getting cut. See ya.
Well, I was listening to the Bachelor. I listen to so many podcasts now, I can't even remember the name. Bachelor Party, the corporate podcast from The Ringer. I don't even know what The Ringer does. Well, anyway, Derek is one of the co-hosts, and he's from The Bachelor.
Isn't that Emotional Intelligence? Emotional Intelligence is exactly. X.
He was talking this morning. I just checked in on the podcast, but he pointed out, like, has there ever been a time when you've taken a solid yes to that mid to late season parent rendezvous, or is it always somebody on the fence? No pun intended.
You're gonna get angry again.
That you take in there, you know, like, because he could have taken Hannah G.
Yeah, to fool us in the clips.
Well, Derek was propositioning that it's a conscious choice, whether it's the producers or the Bachelor or whatever, but they choose to take a person that is on the bubble. What better way to really know if you're going to cut them or not than to see what they're like around your parents, as opposed to taking someone who you really like and you know is going to make it through to the hometowns in there for like a jolly parent visit.
Right, like Crystal on Ari's season.
That's right. It was Crystal, wasn't it?
Crystal got along great with Ari's mom because they were both on the same drugs.
So Crystal got cut and stayed in fade with the parents.
Should I just stop making jokes? I can just give up and be all serious from now on.
Have UCR verbalize her responses to all your jokes. That'll be good. I can do it too. We can both do it.
Crystal and Ari's mom were on the same drugs.
Oh my God, Craig. What are you saying?
But isn't that not true?
I don't know. I don't like talking about drugs.
Allegedly. Anyway, that's all Derek was saying. I thought it'd be an interesting point of departure, but apparently neither of you find that interesting whatsoever. So we can talk about something else.
Oh, well.
Well, it seems true if you're just looking for a true false.
True. True. Okay. Yes. It is.
They're on the bubble, and yes, people tend to leave after going to an early hometown.
You know, we're officially jumping the shark with the Bachelor Masters. We've run out of things to talk about.
No, we don't find
anything we say funny that each other say, apparently.
That's happened every episode for a few seasons now, right? So,
Bachelor Masters, where we jump the shark every episode.
ECR has notes. I know she does. Yes.
Oh, I do. I wanted to talk about, well, I don't think we've jumped the shark. You know, other podcasts, when you mention other podcasts, Craig, it's not that I'm jealous. I'm not jealous of you listening to any other podcast. But
is that what this is really about?
Podcasts really are a had to be there type thing.
But that was not a joke. That was nothing to be there about that.
It's not a joke. I think when podcast creates an ambiance of what's happening, for example, we just took our analysis into a analysis of capitalist society. If someone were to say a one sentence version of what we said, I think we would come off pretty flat and obnoxious.
Even if Ira Glass did it?
Ira Glass is a joke.
Everything's flat.
Yeah.
You're completely misrepresenting I brought up Bachelor Party. And by the way, I did mention that they are a corporate podcast, part of some thing called The Ringer, which I'm sure if we tried to boycott would not be successful because plenty of other people would be giving them their attention and advertising dollars. Am I right?
Do you remember Derek?
But I wasn't trying to be funny. I was just pointing out, I'm giving credit where credit is due. Do you think the other podcasts do that? Do you think they reference us when they say something that they took from us? No, I'm being a good citizen, and I'm saying that this idea that there hasn't been a lock taken to the family, it's always been someone on the bubble, is originated from Derek, who happened to be on that podcast.
Sure, that's interesting, but based on everything we've seen, I feel like he is not the great insight of insiders. He was just
pointing it out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's super interesting, I guess. I believe it. The second you said it, I believe it. There's nothing to argue about. I'm like, Craig.
Great. Yeah. Well,
I thought you were putting it out there, Craig, because UCR, you have the most historical knowledge of the series of us that you could disprove it. But
a good co-host. And
has anyone ever won who's gone on that kind of date? I guess that would be the follow-up question I have. Season I've seen, it's been true, but maybe there's someone that won one year that went home early.
Right. No one knows Bachelor history like you do, EZR.
Yeah.
And I just really want to know, in your informed opinion, has this ever happened? Because I just value your opinion so much as my gracious and wonderful co-host.
You heart. You know, that kind of date where you spring the family on one person is relatively new because it's exciting to us as bachelor. You know, if anything has jumped the shark, it's The Bachelor as a show.
So they well, you know, you've got us all back on board there.
Yes. We're all friends so, again.
Yeah. They need to keep lobbing little, you know, curveballs at us to make sure we're invested. When they showed us a clip of Hannah B making it to what we thought was hometowns, right, we were all shocked. And we commented last time, me and Craig, that how is she coasting? How is she making it? What's happening?
They manipulated us.
Right. So I think those are just, they only do that for the previews. There's no depth there. But right, Derek says there is depth there. So here we are.
There's the interesting part.
That was a really great way to bring Derek in at the end.
I feel guilty that I ever felt anything at the Chris Harrison tribute at the start of this season. You know, Chris Harrison stood by knowing we would never see the fence jump, knowing that Hannah B wasn't making it to hometowns. And he and his mom let us all cry during his tribute. That's wrong, Chris. From one Chris to another.
You know, I started listening to your guys' first podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how bad is it's it? Good. No, good? It's interesting. It's like the seedlings. It's like watching the first episode, you know, the first Seinfeld episodes or something. You're like, I can see the seeds there.
You're getting me really excited here. This would be very self-masturbatory. Is that the right term?
I love it.
Our listeners might be getting tired of my constant obsession with our own podcast, but
that's what we are, people. Come on.
We are. We're the Bachelor Masters. Come on. Come on, Chris.
Yeah.
What if you clipped out short little bits from those earliest episodes and like played them and surprised us? Me and Chris.
Oh, I will start listening to them with that in mind.
Just if something jumps out at you, you know, like don't go out of your way. If you're like, sentence or two that Chris and Craig said, that'd be funny.
Yeah.
Trip down memory lane.
Now, Craig, I need your take on something, but I need to say something, and then I need your take on something. Okay.
Why me?
You guys might not know it, but I love fashion things. I love Tom Ford. I love Marc Jacobs. I don't love, obviously, fast fashion, you know, Forever 21 sweatshops or...
Wait, are you being ironic? I can't tell.
No, I'm not. I actually like the way fashion things look. I like the way they stick in your head. I'm very conscious about it, but you wouldn't know I'm always in jeans.
So you like, you watch Project Runway kind of thing?
No, I hate that show because I think it perpetuates a lot of stereotypes. There's a lot of things wrong with fashion culture in general, but I love certain designers. I love their eye for things. And I just like looking at colors and fabrics and stuff. I go down to the fashion districts and just buy stuff. I used to be a pretty good seamstress, but I'm not anymore. I just haven't done it. But I have to say that Pageant Hannah had on such a cool dress. And I never noticed any of the dresses on. I do notice, but none of them ever stand out to me. Nothing matters to me because it's all ugly in my opinion, except for Hannah B's awesome, awesome dress with a poofy shoulders, and I didn't love the V-cut, but I love the fabric was shiny. It was so cool. Now, before we get Craig's
the fashion roundup,
going to play.
This week, Bachelor Masters is brought to you by Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips. Gender neutral, gently critical, and guaranteed to draw attention to the relative complexion of your exposed skin and the ability of garments to flatter or humiliate your particular body type.
Going somewhere? Well, you're going to have to wear clothes, dummy.
That's why you need Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips, proud sponsor of Bachelor Masters. You don't need to look ridiculous anymore.
Oh my goodness.
I am speechless. That was amazing. ECR, if this were really a meritocracy, you'd be a billionaire. See, that's how we know it's not. That was incredible.
Wow. That was cool.
I am the best surprise giver ever. I've thrown so many surprise parties and it always is a surprise. That's me. Anyways.
Well, we have said many times in the past that if any one of our fans wanted three people to hang out with for a weekend, we would come. We would go to you. We just need to be invited.
I never agreed to this.
I think someone in Chicago, I think we said we'd go to Chicago.
I thought we were all talking about how we had no friends, so we weren't worried about this.
I remember that conversation.
Yeah. If you need friends, we'll come to you. Speaking of airports, Denver International Airport got a good little spot. Yeah.
I love that.
Love the DI. Yeah,
exactly. No, conspiracy airport.
Yeah, I know you love this kind of stuff. I've seen the murals. Those murals are amazing.
Dang it. I really want to go to this airport. It's on coast to coast, like once a year. And I didn't know, Chris, you were also interested in this kind of, well, you know what? It's not so cool anymore because it's super mainstream to like, you know, conspiracy stuff.
Have you been through there, Chris?
I had a layover once, and I feel like we might have given this like 2 minutes of air because I think I laid over there last winter when I was coming this way.
Yeah, I think we might.
But I saw the murals briefly. I didn't get to spend a lot of time there, but I really want to look at whatever the like underground tunnels that they have.
Yeah.
And the horse, right? The horse that fell on the guy
with the red eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, the red eyes. There's some giant horse sculpture is what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. It's on the way in. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of stuff about that airport. What?
Oh, what'd you think about this cool pink dress?
There was so much wind up. There's the fashion drop and now here we are. Okay.
Well, it made me think of the sort of Brat Pack. Not Rat Pack, but Brat Pack, like Rob Lowe and
Molly Ringwald.
Yeah. Because like 16 Candles and St. Elmo's Fire and Breakfast Club. It's kind of that.
Dang, I got like a Barbarella feel from it. I just loved
Chris,
it. I've never really loved.
Well, I don't have a qualified fashion opinion, so I didn't really notice it. I got to say. I know what you're talking about, ECR, having flagged it, but I don't think I really thought anything about it one way or the other.
To Chris, fashion is like a really good movie special effect. It's best when you don't actually know it's there.
This one stood out so much to me that I've never cared except this. This is a night one dress. This is a final rose dress. This was so cool. And that's the first, I can't think the last time I've seen something on TV, unless it was some showy off guy, kind of like, remember Diggy used to wear, it was still too showy off for me, but this was cool. Like, I really like this dress.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will pay more closer attention to her dress if I go back in and look at this.
That's all I really had to say about it.
I saw
the dress and it reminded me of the drop. So there we are.
Yeah, well, thanks for playing that drop. That drop is amazing. And I think officially replaces the old Fashion Roundup drop.
We'll alternate. Anyway, I like them both.
So, Chris, keep writing.
Cool. That ECR, that was really something. Wow. I'll keep writing.
Boom. Yes, please. Well, you have like a 7-hour plane ride home. You can get a lot of drops done during that time.
I'll keep thinking of things, too. To poop out there.
All right. Next week, we can't say what it is, but we have the biggest surprise for Bachelor Masters listeners. That's you. Thank you. If you made it this far in the podcast, thanks. It's going to be amazing next week.
I'm excited, but scared, but excited.
Well, it's something we've never done, three of us, for the podcast before. I think we've done things like this in our own working careers and stuff, but I don't think we've ever done it. I know we've never done it, three of us.
And yeah,
a lot can go wrong, but see, I'm a big believer in happy accidents. When things go wrong, they go wrong and it leads to good things.
Yeah. And
or
you know what?
Could leave on a train like Never Been Kissed Heather, like a Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Yes.
Heather got no grief for cutting herself. You know, at this late stage, she never was suspected of wanting to be the Bachelorette.
Right.
No,
right?
And she's not interesting enough. She doesn't have the, you know, the other two. Right. And I thought it was such a hilarious leave. Like, bye. See you later. It looked like she was going off into... It reminded me of, like, a Looney Tunes cartoon that I couldn't quite place. Like, Bugs Bunny getting tied to something and just saying bye.
If you're on YouTube, check out Cinema Boof, which is...
Oh!
Did you like that? Chris's
good segue.
Side hustle. And you have a few new videos up. And it sounds like you're really on a roll posting here, so...
We have, we banked a lot early this year, so I'm away right now. We're not making them, but we have videos banked, so they'll keep going. So, yes. Thanks.
That's great.
Yeah. Boof, boof, boof.
Boof. Hey. Yes.
Since what? It doesn't really matter who wins Colton, what really matters is who's going to be the next Bachelorette. So, who will be the next Bachelorette, guys? God.
Kaylin, I'm going to take the obvious, easy, mainstream, depressing answer. I'll say Kaylin.
I unfortunately have to agree with Chris, although I will reserve we can't do it next week because we have a special episode, but at some point, I really got to tell you what I really think about Kaylin. I can really go into it, given the proper amount of time.
Oh, well, we had the whole episode today.
Yeah. Oh. Well,
but I guess you want to talk about fence gate. Well, what happens when fence gate does happen? Then right. You'll forget it. Fine. I'm writing this down, Craig. What Craig really thinks about Kaylin.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. Yes. So I'm with Chris. It'll probably be Kaylin.
But she did this whole mind F. This is what her plan was. I think it should be Hannah B now, just to stick it to Kaylin.
There's who it will be, which is what Chris answered, and there's who it should be.
Right? Well, we'll see if...
Who it should be is Katie.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. But, you know, to people that might seem repetitive. Right. And to us, it seems reductive.
You can't have two black women in the same decade. Right.
Right.
Wow.
Nope, hopefully it won't be Kaylin, and I hope she'll just get more exposed. If this is the exposing episode, then Bachelor producers have failed us, because that exposed her, but no one cares, or no one wants to call her out for it. So,
All right. Well, promise, next week is going to be awesome and fun and not an ounce of negativity, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yippee.
All right. See you next week.
Oof,
bye.
Oof, 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 bye.